This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Tamarindo Podcast,
your socially conscious talk show with a Latinx vibe.
We discuss the intersection of media, politics, and pop culture.
We are your hosts,
Melina Bobadilla
and Brenda Gonzalez,
the educated peleoneras.
Welcome. Hola, Tamarindos. How are you doing?
Hola, Tamarindos.
This is a mini cast episode. We have an agenda, though. I'm going to read it to you.
We do.
This is
bullet points.
Yes, this is Brenda and
Melina,
las educated peloneras.
Educated peloneras.
Aquí one more time with you. So on the agenda, we're going to have a ¿Qué pasa? Talking about no more.
No more, no more.
Matraca to Sama Hayek.
Matraca to Sama
Hayek. Telenoveleando, we're going to talk about Coco and She's Gotta Have It.
Yes, She's Gotta Have It is actually this new Netflix show that we just recently binged. So if you haven't heard of it, you should watch it so you can get up on game and know what we're talking about.
Spoiler alert, spoiler alert.
Yes, totally.
And then we have some announcements. So that's what we got today. All right. So thank you for listening again. We are speaking in our makeshift studio in my closet.
Yes, we are in the clandestine Brenda closet. And, you know, this it's very... DIY. I like it.
Yes.
It's but
closed.
It still works.
It still works. And if you hear some crunching, it's Frida eating her food.
Yeah. Our mascota, our tamarindo mascota, she's here snacking.
Yeah. So let's do, ¿qué pasa? So what is the latest news this week?
The latest news is that Roy Moore, the bigoted, misogynist, sexual predator, pedophile who rode in on his horse to vote.
It's so ridiculous.
In the Alabama Senate election. Oh my God. And I don't know why, but it would not bother me as much if it was like a charro voting.
Oh, that's, you know, awesome.
In Mexico,
you know what? Or let's manifest this, that we want to see a charro riding his horse con un lazo.
Yeah. I want to see a charra riding her horse into a polling precinct to vote.
That's, you know, awesome.
And then they'll probably ask her for her papers.
No.
But anyway, that idiota did not win.
Yes.
He
no
did
more,
not win.
More. And a big shout out to Gina Rodriguez for the no more tweet. And then she liked it when we shared it.
We shared it and she liked it. That was pretty cute. Thank you.
And then I guess we love Doug Jones.
Well, you know what? I'm just really glad he won. I'm not surprised. I'm a bit disgusted. I am just a super eye rolling at the fact that this race was so close.
Yes.
Now, I do understand that Alabama has always been a red state.
Yeah.
There has not been someone who won this election who was a Democrat for the past 20 years.
This is what makes this so exciting.
Right.
So freaking
it's amazing.
Exciting.
But the fact that it was so close, I mean, this
it's
is not a bad candidate.
Thing.
This is a rotten, horrible candidate. How did you even let him
get this
like,
far?
Get
yeah,
this
because
far.
Not only, fine, debate all you want, because some people are like, I don't know, innocent until proven guilty, whatever. He's a pervert, but let's pretend for a second that he's not a pervert, which, haha, LOL, he is. He also is a person that thought Muslims should have no right to,
right.
to serve office.
They shouldn't have rights to serve office. He didn't want Keith Ellison to be sworn in by placing his hand over the Quran because that was insufficient for him. That's not a holy book. They shouldn't serve office. LGBTQ people should not be allowed to marry who they want. Women shouldn't be allowed to do whatever the hell that they want to do with their bodies.
So this guy was a disaster no matter what. Perv or not.
He was disgusting. He was a fucking troll. So bye. Extra super bye to Roy Moore.
Chanclazo.
And I just want to say, you know, what's interesting is that everyone on social media has been going nuts over this Washington Post poll. And if you want to know what I'm talking about, you've probably seen it. It's a red and blue poll that broke down all of the demographics of the voters through exit polls. And it's literally called on the Washington Post, if you just Google it, it's exit poll results, how different groups voted in Alabama. And there's all these red and blue charts that break it down by age, by education, by gender, evangelical, non-evangelical, identifying as liberal or conservative. But the one that everyone is obsessing over and they keep reposting and tweeting is this one that's, again, not surprising, pretty disgusting, but just making me hella roll my eyes
know.
Back.
We already know. Reliving, you know,
reliving
the election.
Exactly. So white men, 35% of voters that turned out. 72% of them, unsurprisingly, voted for Roy Moore. White women, who made up 31% of voters. 63% of white women, okay, voted for a pedophile, a person who sexually traumatized
children,
not one, not
yes.
two, not three, countless so underage women.
Well, I don't want to spend too much time on Moore because he doesn't need no more time.
No,
but can
no
we
more.
Also talk a little bit about what the Bajaritos are saying?
Oh, yes.
What is social media saying
so
about
this? So
let
me link that. Social media is loving this. Social media is eating this up. And specifically because the other two parts of this chart say that 93% of black men voted for Jones.
Thank you.
98% of black women voted for... Thank you, women. Thank you to our black brothers and sisters. And here's the thing. It's like people vote based on what is going to serve their interests.
Or you would think, let's be honest,
right?
They don't actually do that.
Right. And I don't think that Democrats should be here asking black voters to keep saving them when they're not the demographic that they focus on. So Let's get to work. Is this new little segment that we're thinking about trying because, girl, you know, I live for the comments and the shade and
for the social media tea.
Exactly. So Pajarito, because Twitter is the little pajaritos, this is what the birdies are saying. So Ernest Owens said 97% of black women and 92% of black men voted for Doug Jones. We've never been the problem or been the reason why America has been held back politically. Stop acting like y'all don't know who needs to get it together in these polls.
Yep.
Hashtag Alabama Senate elections.
Shade.
Now, Charlene Carruthers, shout out, because this one's great, says, black women are not political mules to be used every time a mediocre white candidate needs to win. No amount of verbal appreciation will do justice. Turn over the money, resources, and power, then we can talk.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes. All right. We love those.
Yes.
We're gonna probably reshare those on our social.
On our
find them.
Yeah.
Find us on Tamarindo
we'll
Podcast on the Instagram.
And, you know, as a segue to this, as we talked about, unfortunately, these women, white women, voting against their own interests and upholding violent patriarchy. So that's a chancla to that.
Chancla.
But I want to segue into a matraca moment.
Matraca. What is our matraca moment of the week?
Upholding patriarchy. Some women are smashing the hell out
con
of it.
Con un tacón.
Con un tacón muy fino o con una bota de Frida Kahlo, por ejemplo. Exactly. Speaking of Frida Kahlo, we want to give a huge shout out to Salma Hayek for her really brave and honest New York Times op-ed that was just released a couple days ago in which she outlines the horrific abuse that she experienced with Harvey Weinstein.
The basura.
The basura, exactly, super basura, that everything from a death threat to bullying her during press events for Frida, to forcing her to have certain sex scenes.
Everybody should read it because it's really, you can sense the anxiety of her having to balance, wanting to get this project off the ground, spending her time, as we all appreciate what it takes to get your art out there,
absolutely,
and to still have it hanging on the passes of this pig,
right?
So I'm really, it's really we give her a big matraca for being the brave person to write that out, and you really can sense the she was torn because she even talked about the guy's a nice guy in certain lights, but you can't, you know, balance that, and actually that's part of, she said that's part of the problem is that you you kind of, and I can imagine anyone can relate to having a problematic relationship, whether it's a friend or colleague mm-hmm. or this predator, where there might be times where you're almost empathizing or you feel like right. hostage. Like she felt almost, there was sympathy for him.
There was a lot of emotions that she was working through. And at the end of the day, it comes down to power and yeah. the relationship that they had, that particular dynamic, as is with many of these women. It comes down to these situations of power where they're up against someone who they are the subordinate to.
Yes, you know? And that they like, need something
And
from.
That they need financial backing or, you know, some particular kind of support or their job hinges on it or their reputation. No. So... huge shout out to her, and I'm really glad that she did enter this conversation, because something that I've been really, I guess, yearning for in this whole discussion and the whole Me Too movement is, how do we start centering the voices of women of color and queer women of color, because we are also experiencing this. Now, we're not in all of these prominent positions of power. We're highly underrepresented when it comes to media, when it comes to journaling, mm-hmm. Journalism, the press,
so many
Hollywood,
things.
Politics. So we're not always speaking out. And you know what?
We're not always speaking out because we're also more afraid. We have more to lose.
Right.
So this is, I think that there was, even though she wasn't explicit about like as a woman of color, but that's something that resonated with me right. is that you think about, she felt that she was like a nobody in mm-hmm. Hollywood. And of course, part of the reason she's a nobody in Hollywood is because she's a Mexican actress.
Right.
So you can only imagine how many other folks of color, women of color, because of this power dynamic, have not advanced in their right. careers. This is why we don't hear them, because they haven't even made it that far.
Right.
Or so, they're afraid and they have more to lose to tell their story.
Exactly. And I'm just really quickly to wrap this up. We posted something on our Insta story, because if you listen to In the Thick podcast, which is
shout
one
out,
of our favorites.
Shout out to Marina Rosa. We love her.
Shout out.
She makes our heart
yes.
go.
Yes. Bidi bidi bum bum. Es una reina. She's a phenomenal Mexicana journalist, Mexican American journalist, who has worked for NPR for what, 20 years?
Yeah.
She is the genius behind Latino USA, and now she hosts this show. She co-hosts it.
Yes, yes. So her media company is Futuro Media.
Yes.
And also shout out to Chicago. She's from Chicago.
Oh,
and
hey.
We have a lot of Chicago fans, by the way.
Shout out to Chicago and Barrio Pilsen.
Yes.
All the Midwest Chicanos and Midwest Puerto Ricanos and Midwest Latinx.
All of them.
Thanks
all
for holding
them.
It down.
Can I do a little thing about Chicago? Because
oh,
I just
yeah.
remembered something else. Very, very quickly, another itty bitty mini chancla. That was my phone. So chancla to my phone for going off on this recording.
You're so unprofessional.
Yes, phone, get it together. You have a calendar within you. a really quick chancla. Pequeña to the show Easy, which is also based in Chicago, which is totally
yeah.
lacking in color, but especially season two that doesn't have El Muy Guapo, El Muy Sexy, Castillo?
Was it? Raul Castillo.
Raul Castillo. Okay, that was my itty bitty super tiny.
Well, that's chancla. A nice transition, actually.
Oh.
The chancla will transition us to Telenoveliando.
Oh my God, we're so good at these transitions.
We are.
I think matraca to us.
Matraca to us for transitioning so seamlessly.
Yes.
You would
so
think
you
mentioned. You would think.
You would
but
think.
This is all off the top, all right? All right, y'all? This is off the top of the dome.
Improv.
Yeah, we're doing improv. We're doing improv. So, Telenoveliando is a segment where we talk about what are we watching? What are we consuming? What are we binge watching? You know, because we love pop culture and we love intersectionality. So, you mentioned Easy, which mm-hmm. I hadn't watched the first season.
Watch the first season.
So I got to go back and watch Raul Castillo, because I'm a fan.
And that one's in Spanish. So it was
Ooh.
Really cool because it's all white people. Oh, shit, I'm binging and I have to watch something in Spanish. So I like that.
Yeah.
That was sneaky. So it was sad.
Nice.
It was sad that it wasn't in the season two.
Yeah. And you know, I watched season two. I kind of just let it play in the background one day when I was working from home and I was cleaning. And it just really bothered me that out of the entire season, there was two black characters that were women, one black male character, I think an Asian woman, zero Latinos. I'm sorry, you cannot do a show that takes place in Chicago or New York or Miami or California, anywhere.
One Latina, but she's like very white presenting, especially her character. In the very first show, oh my God, I'm forgetting her name.
Season two,
the very first episode, which I actually liked the first episode, was very Black Mirrors.
Aubrey Plaza.
Yes, Aubrey Plaza.
You're right.
She's white presenting, but we'll give her.
Yes.
We'll give them a pass.
She's, I mean... I hate at this point that we have to take scraps, but I will count the blessings.
Yes, count the blessings.
But I guess if you want to think about it, like, yeah. but she lived in the suburbs.
Yes.
With all and, her and white and Asian friends.
Nothing about her was Latina.
Right.
Like,
and if you don't know that her last name is Plaza, and you think it's Plaza, or you just don't know her last name and you don't know that she's half Puerto Rican, yeah, she can be very white presenting. So I didn't really feel like immigrant stories were
no,
told.
Not at all. Not so in the that way lacking. That a whole Spanish episode yeah. would have done.
So anyways, chocolate to that.
But what else? What else were we Ooh, watching on the well, Netflix?
Well, what we're watching on Netflix, have you seen the show by Spike Lee that was inspired by his movie in the 90s called She's Gotta Have It? Have you seen that, Brenda?
I have been binge watching it. I don't know if you could say I have been watching it because I kind of fell asleep a couple times because there were some snooze moments for sure.
Ooh.
Snoozy, boring.
I guess I know what you think.
But but for a really thoughtful analysis of She's Gotta Have It, you got to go to this podcast called The Extraordinary Negroes.
Shout out to you guys.
And they're in LA, so we'll hang out with them.
Yes.
But what did you think about it?
Well, you know, I watch things from multiple lenses, layered lenses. You know, I don't just have a monocle.
Because we're a mosaic.
So,
we've got
of
many
course.
Ways to see things.
So, I'm an actor. I watch for performance. I'm an actor of color, so I watch for representation. I'm obsessed with representation of race and gender and sexual dynamics and power and how that plays out. And so, okay, level one, I absolutely love that the story was like an homage to Brooklyn.
Yes,
and
that's true.
In grad school, I was lucky enough to live in Brooklyn. And I lived in Bed-Stuy for a little bit, and God, Brooklyn's amazing, and it's like this
you
nest
can feel
of
that
cultura
in the show.
And
yeah.
culture and resilience and hip hop and this beautiful embracing of immigrant intersectionality with like urban cool POC. POCs, young POCs being on the forefront of being influencers and cultural
yes.
makers.
And that came
makers.
Through in like a lot of the artistic
yeah.
pauses
right.
of the story.
Right. So if you're a lover of music, especially of hip hop and a lot of music that's coming out of New York or that has come out of New York, I think you'll really enjoy it because the soundtrack's phenomenal.
Yes.
It was really well curated.
We got it.
And they took moments. Oh, yes. They took moments. We're just looking at our clock here. They took moments to highlight some of the music they played. So they put the album cover.
That was super
up.
Cool.
That was really cool.
That was super cool.
The fashion was on point. Anthony Ramos, who you might know if you got a chance, if you were one of the lucky people to see Hamilton in New York.
Oh my God.
He's part
yes.
of the original
he's
cast.
He's the whole, like, he kind of steals
he
the
steals
scene.
The show. He's my favorite.
He is the reason
yeah.
why it's like captivating.
And he plays the character that Spike Lee played in the original 90s movie.
Yeah.
Which I haven't actually seen. I've done
I
research
kinda wanna
on
see
it.
That.
But
yeah,
now I want to compare
now
it.
I want to see it.
But you don't have to have seen it to understand it. You know, so that part was beautiful. I'm always going to watch something that puts people of color front and center and centers a story about a woman of color.
Yeah.
And I love that this woman was an artist living in Brooklyn, exploring her sexuality.
Brat,
but
she was
girl,
so whiny.
She was annoying. I'm like, your friend, the one with the glasses, the gallery owner.
Oh, she was, I liked her.
I liked her too. Yeah, I can tell why she got annoyed by you. Like, you're a little vapid. You're a little narcissistic.
Yeah.
I don't want to give away the last episode, but super eye roll to the last episode. But again, for a deeper analysis, listen to The Extraordinary Negroes.
Yes.
A fine podcast.
Very good. Very good.
What else, Brenda?
Oh,
you recently saw a film.
Yes, you did too.
I did.
And so did everybody else.
So did everyone else.
But it was so good. Coco.
Coco.
I loved it. I loved it. So, of course, everybody loved it. It was great. We don't want to give out any spoilers, but one scene we, of course, appreciate, and see if you're thinking about it right now, is...
Which one?
Is the freaking chancla, like, going...
Oh, yeah. That's right.
We love that scene.
Yeah, that's
we
not gonna, that's not
it.
A super spoiler. It's a pretty common thing, and I'm glad they threw that in there. I think I was waiting to
Turning
see if it was
going
to be tone deaf. Really? I was waiting to see... when I would be offended. And I have to say that I was moved from the first moment
it was
that
so
I
beautiful.
Saw Coco's beautiful face. And Coco is the great grandmother. And that is just such a soft spot in my heart.
Yeah.
Just for abuelitas and viejitas. It was beautiful. I loved the melanin rich characters.
Beautiful.
The way that they
it.
Portrayed the brownness was so beautiful.
Yes,
and I think
it.
That was a really important element. I think the colloquial parts that they threw in, some of the DFA slang.
Yes,
you know?
Que padre.
Yeah, no manches.
No manches.
So that was really cool. I do want to throw out a huge chancla to the fact that they felt the need to have a 20-minute Frozen short
God.
In front of it.
Yes.
Nobody signed up for that. Ain't nobody got time for that.
Nobody has time for that. It was like three songs too long.
It was
so freaking
ridiculous.
Long.
Like, can you just let me have my Mexican moment, please? Can I just go see a Mexican movie? We are sorely underrepresented. I'm obsessed with Day of the Dead, and I think you are too.
Nos gusta
mucho. Calacas Forever. And I just wanted to see that. I didn't want to see the singing snowman. I didn't want to see.
I've
like,
never liked Olaf.
The blonde girl. Olaf is horrible. Sorry.
Olaf is horrible.
I'm a fan of the singing. I love Idina Menzel. Obviously, I'm a musical theater nerd, so that's great. But
I do have a funny little story from Pajaritos. So Fabi Fab from Latinos Who Lunch went on. He had so many funny tweets about the freaking. The Olaf thing,
the Frozen,
and he said that Frozen short is like all lives matter.
Oh God!
And I responded with Olaf matters.
Olaf matters. You're good at that. Puns. Ooh, puns. That's very Carrie
like
Sex
puns.
In the City from you of you. Puns, muy, muy just punning pun. It away. You're a little.
Well,
pun.
You know what? It's because of Jeff. Jeff is a big pun.
Shout
star.
Out
He's
to big
pun
puns.
Star.
Shout out to Big Pun and we got Little Pun right here live on Tamarindo
so
Podcast.
Funny.
So
any other thoughts on Coco?
I love the casting. I thought that the acting was really rich, and it's hard to be a voice actor. And I am a voice actor. I do dubbing and I do voiceover. And I was so impressed by the young man who was the lead. There was a lot of really there was a lot of depth in what he was saying, and he wasn't just trying to sound like he was crying. He was feeling
it. It was really
so
good.
I mean, his heart was open. His instrument
was
great.
Yeah.
I think it was portrayed beautifully. I think it was a beautiful homage to that. Now, there's a lot of think pieces out of there, and I'm not someone who thinks that we should never critique something just because it's Latino and we never get stuff. It's fine. Critique it. Let's talk about it. You know, don't shut down the voices of the
dissent.
Critical thinkers.
Yes.
Yeah, don't shut down the voices of dissent, especially from the newer generation. So there's a think piece out there that talks about how it promotes this ideal mestizaje and kind of false nationalism, which I want to delve into more. And maybe I can talk about it again, or maybe we can talk about it, you know, on Insta. So that's something you can Google if you want to see another analysis of it. But overall, I loved
Coco.
It. Y lloré. Yo lloré mucho.
I want to see it in Spanish. You know, I didn't cry because I don't think it was sad. You know, people were like, oh, bring tissues. Mm-hmm. I don't think it was sad. It was not sad. I was happy it was not sad. I was like, when is it going to go extra sad? It didn't go sad for me. Mm-hmm. But I think at the end, it just made me want to relive that tradition to do the altar, and so it was just made me want to remember my dad, you know.
Yeah.
It was so sweet,
and I think it didn't do this awkward demystification of Day of the Dead. Like, I could tell that it was not geared toward making it safe and explaining it to non-Mexicanos. I think it was a beautiful veneration of our history and our culture in a way that was easily understandable for people that might not know about it, but I don't think it bastardized it. I don't think it watered it down.
It was so
and
good.
I appreciated that.
I have to get this in there. So I loved Coco, and I liked it a lot better than Book of Life, and I think it's precisely this, because I think Coco did a good job of like, here's what it is and here's a beautiful story. Mm-hmm. Book of Life tried to give you gazillions of explanations. It was like a 7-year-old is not gonna follow this is too much. So I loved Coco is greater than Book of Life in my view. In my book.
In your book of life. Yeah. So definitely go support that.
Well, we did it. We got it. We stayed on schedule.
Look at us.
Yes. Yes.
We're so professional.
This is a what are
and
we
I,
call
I meant
these?
To say professional.
Professional.
Profesh, but we're profresh.
Profresh.
Yeah.
This is one of those mini cast episodes again, recorded in the closet. But we have some announcements.
Yes, we
the
do.
The announcements are that we're taking a break. So again, this has been really fun with Melina. and Brenda.
Thank you.
And
not a break from each other.
No, no, no.
Break just a holiday break.
A holiday break. Yeah. We're still on. The Educated Peloneras are on, and we've appreciated all the feedback. People are loving the shirts. You can still order the shirts. We're almost selling out of the mediums, so get in touch with us.
We're going to order some more.
Yeah, we'll order some more. We're going to try to figure out a way that you can order shirts on demand, and we can have more sizes because this is our first go at it, but there was a lot of interest, so you can still get in touch with us at tamarindopodcast@gmail.com and let us know your size, and we'll show you how to pay for it. We'll get it to you. They are $4 extra for shipping, so they're $18. If you're local to LA, we'll find a way to get it to you, but if you want it to be shipped, it's an extra $4 anywhere in the United States.
Yes.
Si se puede.
Si se puede. And then something else that's really cool that's been happening, we've been getting some interest from universities that I don't want to spoil it yet.
Maybe
but,
more than one.
We may be making some live appearances. So if you are at a university or you have connections or you live near one,
let them know.
Let them know.
That we will come. We will do live events.
We're ready for doing live events. And we are projecting into the future a live Tamarindo broadcast.
Yes. So look out for stuff like that. Reach out to us. You can get a hold of us on tamarindopodcast.com. You can connect to all of our stuff.
Yes.
Follow us on the social.
Follow us on Instagram, on Twitter. You can also follow us individually.
Yes.
What else? And I think como que eso es.
That's it. There might be some Instagram pictures and stuff from our retreat. We're going to have a planning retreat.
We're having a planning retreat. Yes. Again, being very professional. laying out the year, you know? So if you have ideas, we have also been getting some really cool responses from fans and listeners about future guests.
Suggestions. Folks that are in LA.
Yeah. We may not always be able to do it, or we might always already have something booked, but we want to make a plan for the future.
Yes.
We want to plan ahead. Mm-hmm. Tamarindo en el futuro.
Yes. And there might be a few bonus episodes if we can get them out. You might have seen on our social that we did talk to Ruben
from Café Tacuba.
And also amazing band called Making Movies. Okay. Two bands you should check out. Hopefully a couple more. Making Movies.
Making Movies.
Yes. Isn't it an interesting name? It's called Making Movies.
God, I don't know why my brain dropped.
I mean, that would make
the eye.
What is it? Making Money Moves. Yes, that's what we want to do.
That's right. I want to get some blood shoes.
Yes. Okay, so one last blood chanclas.
No. No, mija, no pises la sangre.
Oh my God, so funny. Okay, so until then, I want to tell you to write us a review on Apple Podcasts y ponte un sope.
Y ponte woke. Tamarindo Podcast is Melina Bobadilla
and Brenda Gonzalez. It is produced by Jeff DeVoe, a.k.a. Producer Jeff, who provides original music and sound engineering.
Please write us a review on Apple Podcasts and share the episode with the hashtag #SupportBrownPodcast.
Find us on all your favorite social media platforms and get in touch at tamarindopodcast.com.
Cuando mi arrendador dijo que el alquiler podría ser más barato si fuéramos amigos con beneficios. Había oído hablar de acoso sexual en el lugar de trabajo, pero en mi casa, eso es discriminación en la vivienda basada en el sexo.
La gente de Bienes Raíces dijo que estaríamos más cómodos viviendo en un vecindario diferente con gente como nosotros. Por suerte, conocíamos nuestros derechos. Es ilegal asustar a los posibles propietarios para que se alejen de ciertos vecindarios en función de raza o nacionalidad.
Si usted cree que sufrió discriminación o tiene preguntas sobre sus derechos, comuníquese con Fair Housing Foundation, Fundación de Vivienda Justa, al 800-446-3247 o también en línea en fhfca.org. La vivienda justa es su derecho. Este es un anuncio de servicio público de Fair Housing Foundation y respaldado por el Departamento de Vivienda y Desarrollo Urbano HUD bajo la subvención de FIPPI, FPEI, 220099.
With the McDonald's app, you can get your favorite thing delivered to your door. So if you were looking for a reason to skip washing those dishes you left in the sink, consider this a sign. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Right now, get $0 delivery fee with any purchase of $15 or more, only in the app. At participating McDonald's, minimum purchase excludes tax and service fees. Delivery prices may be higher than in restaurants. Other fees may apply, not valid with any other offer, discount, or coupon.